Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, folks. This is the inaugural episode of Restore the Roar Live. I think everything's going here smoothly. I'm looking at this switchboard, which has changed a little bit in the last few years. Welcome to the show. I'm Sky Dickinson. It is May 26th, 2019, coming to you live from the Restore the Roar Studios in Lamb Park. We're going to have some fun, folks. Okay. Again, welcome. I'm Sky Dickinson. My title is Head of Media with Restore the Roar, and I've been covering the many successes of C.K. McClatchy Athletics since the spring of last year. We all recently got together in the gym for the annual athletic assembly, which is always an incredible sight to see. You have all of the student athletes together in one gymnasium, emceed by our awesome athletic director, Rob Feichert. I was able to say a few words to the group and just tell them how incredibly impressed I've been since I came on board and began covering them as a writer and a photographer, blogger, putting together the website. McClatchy competes in 19 different sports, folks. We have 42 different teams, approximately 400 student athletes. Restore the Roar is a booster club that was founded in 2007 by Bob Sertich, who graduated from the school in the late 60s. And at the time, McClatchy wasn't exactly thriving in all sports, but it's always been strong. It's always been a proud school full of tradition. And what's going on now at this school in terms of athletics really deserves to be broadcast to the masses. So that's what we're trying to do here. And I believe if everything's working here, I think I'm hearing some, we might have Coach Rohit Sharma on the line. Can you hear us, Coach?
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Excellent. Boom. Hurdle number one crossed. And we'll speak a little bit more about hurdles. We'll talk a little more about hurdles in a bit. But Rohit fills a lot of roles for C.K. McClatchy Sports. This guy is all over campus, you know, fixing a soccer injury on one corner of the field 1 minute and getting some, you know, important affairs done on the other corner of the other. Hey, bud, welcome to the show. Great to have you. Go ahead and introduce yourself to our listening audience.
How you doing, Sky? Well, yeah, my name is Rohit Sharma. I'm class of 2001 from McClatchy. You know, I loved my experience there so much that I came back to it. Came back as a coach originally, and then I became an athletic trainer. And in doing so, working with kids, when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do overall, as a profession, I decided to choose teaching, and so now I also teach at McClatchy.
Excellent, man. Excellent. And you are the assistant athletic director and the head trainer and one of the track coaches. So when I was thinking up ways to get out information of events that don't happen on campus or near campus to everybody interested, you know, that's why I thought this podcast might be super valuable. So tell us whatever you want about the track team. But first, let me say to our listening audience who may not know that McClatchy has a brand new track and field. Gosh, it's not even 2 years old yet. It is immaculate. It is pristine. And those who grew up running around the dirt track that Rohit and I did, I'm class of 96. You know, we won't recognize it at all. It's a completely different world, completely different feel. And there was a ceremony last spring, I believe it was April 7th, 2018, and they officially named facility the Jack Maurer and Al Beta Track and Training Complex. So what has been going on in that complex since?
Oh man, what hasn't been going on? It's definitely being used by the community, which is great. That was the whole purpose of it, as well as making sure our kids were safe, you know, to practice on it, whether it was PE, to like football, soccer, track. I mean, if you look at us just 2 years ago, we weren't able to host any soccer games because soccer moved to the winter and it was always raining. I think we played maybe three games at home and those were mud games. Track, you know, most of our listeners will turn into Lake McClatchy anytime we got a little bit of rain.
Right.
And you could not get around it. I mean, we would probably have, you know, combined, you know, 100 meters to run. but no, now since we have the new field and track, it's been great. Kids, you know, my athletes will come to me like, hey, coach, it's raining. So does that mean practice is canceled? I'm like, no. What don't you get about all-weather track? So it's definitely been a blessing. We've seen a lot of improvements just, you know, with the, being able to stick with the consistency of training. And also, you know, it's huge, you know, for the community to come out and to be able to see little kids coming out there and running and not having to worry about getting scraped up and, you know, their parents coming out on like
Absolutely.
A weekend. I know, yeah, there's a group of people that come out there and play soccer, you know, so it's definitely, it's a gem.
It sure is. And the times, I mean, night and day. I was talking to Jonah Wiener-Brodke, who was the male athlete of the year in 2018, did some amazing things in cross country. And he was saying that just running on that track compared to running on the dirt one, because, you know, keep in mind now we will have, 3 years worth of student athletes who did both, right? Or four? Yeah, I don't know. 3 or 4 years worth of student athletes who saw both. And he was one of them. And he said, he was talking about like 5 seconds off his mile immediately. Boom. Just like that.
Oh, I mean, and that attributes to being able to train on it and to get your speed work in. I mean, if you put it from this standpoint, we have a young lady this year, Julia Heckey, who she's only a sophomore, and she went 7.5 in the mile. She ended up running a 4.55, 4.56, and she's only a sophomore. And last year we had a student athlete, one of the female student athlete of the year, Clarissa Wang. She didn't break five. I mean, she came close to, I think, 5 on the dot by her senior year at the Masters meet. So had she had that facility all 4 years, I mean, her times definitely would have been, you know, a lot lower. But overall, I mean, every week we would, we have a tradition that we started, or one of my young coaches started. We give Gatorades every week after meets to our kids who PR'd. And we were given 30 to 40 Gatorades a week, you know, because kids were PRing so much because they were being able to, you know, be consistent. Yeah, I mean, one of my co-coaches, Julie, she was going broke because she spent all this money on Gatorade. But it's a happy thing that, you know, to go broke over. So, we're definitely excited about it. And we definitely are reaping the benefits of having an all-weather track.
That's awesome, man. PRs being personal records. So – The incoming classes now who have never seen the night before the day, is there like do you set aside like half of a practice or something and sit them all down and say, okay, listen to me, you need to understand, or is it just boom, that's in the past, on we go?
Well, you know, so this year's freshman was the first group we had that came into an all-weather track. You know, I give this spiel to all of them, you know, like, hey, respect it like it's your house, you know, no food on there, you know, no sugar liquids, because, you know, it's like carpet, you know, and we want to take care of it. I've seen too many other facilities get tore up so fast, and we've had too many people spend a lot of time and effort into getting this here. I want to make sure that we can, you know, keep it for as long as possible. But no, a lot of our students that come in, they come from, you know, the neighborhood already, so they already understand it. They come in, and to them, they don't know any different. But definitely the kids that experience the dirt, who are my kids that are juniors now and are going to be seniors, they definitely understand it, and they appreciate it.
That's great, man. Where is that stone? Coach Feichert had sent me a picture of the official cornerstone, I guess it would be called. Is that going to be put somewhere? Is that going to be – in the ground?
Oh yeah, they actually just put it in the other day. It's if you're walking, you know, it's actually right by the backstop for where baseball is. The entrance to the track right there where the fence is. That's exactly
gotcha.
Where it is. So if you're coming from campus, and you're gonna walk onto the field, it'll be right there, smack dab.
Gotcha, buddy. So the track season for 2018 has completely wrapped. Do I have that right, or is there anything left? I was looking.
Correct.
I know it was
schedule
had extended a while.
Yeah, so our league was done around we finished May 9th was our 10th was our league championship, where our girls took first
right.
in league and boys took third. We had a lot of stiff competition this year, especially on the boys' side. Monterey Trail entered our league. So did Grant and River City. So that they actually added some parity to our league, which is what we want. We wanted competition. And just to put some things in perspective, the Monterey Trails guys won state. So, like, the one kid,
yeah.
Zach Laird, I just won the 400 in the state, took first, and their 4x4 team just took first as well in the state. So we're running against state champions here, and, you know, and for the most of it, we held our own. Our girls, you know, they kicked butt. They came through. We sent a bunch of kids to section, and out of section to Masters, we sent about 8 kids, which is the most we've had in a while, move on to the Masters meet. And then didn't have the best outing at Masters, but, you know, for the most of it, they were all young. I had, with the exception of one athlete, Anthony Shanefelt, who did the hurdles, you know, I'm bringing all those other kids back next year.
That's incredible. And as I look up and down these rosters for so many of these squads, they are so stacked with freshmen and sophomore. I don't know if that's something that just happened to be things happen in waves like that, or it's incredible. These teams are so stacked for the future. And we're talking a lot about this track team now. This is the first episode here of Restore the Roar Live, which is brought to you by Simply Mobile. That's right there at the southeast edge of the park there, folks, right at the corner by the cornerstone of Lamb Park. Oh, how about that? Didn't even make that connection. And it's a phone store. They sell phones. I can take care of all your needs. 4411 Freeport Boulevard, official sponsor of Restore the Roar, Simply Mobile. So, yeah, talking about this track team, congrats to the ladies for the Metro – or the Metro Championship. A lot of those happening at CCAM this year. 14 teams in total went to the playoffs. And you have you have an affiliation with all of them to an extent, because you're there taking care of things when things go bad. And, you know, I've seen some pretty rough football injuries. I've been surprised how physical soccer is now that I'm seeing it really, really up close. And anytime anything happens, you know, Coach Rose out there, and your approach, obviously you're going out there thinking I need to calm this person down and address the injury from a simple standpoint, I guess. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I've been training for about 13 years, I've seen my share of injuries, so to say. And a good day for me is when I don't have to work, you know.
There you
I'm
go.
Sitting there and I get to enjoy a game. But yeah, the whole point of me is I'm a first responder type. You know, I get there, try to calm the situation down, you know, move kids out the way, make sure, you know, the athlete is, you know, comfortable. And then a lot of things, you know, I help them with, you know, we can get them up. Your most injuries you see will be, you know, they felt something tweak or they pulled up or something. And a lot of times, you see them rolling around. It's because it's more of the fear of something happened rather than the thing actually happening. And once we get them calmed down and their adrenaline kind of cools off, then they kind of realize, okay, it's not as bad. We have instances where things are pretty bad and we have to call, you know, an EMS to come through, or, you know, if the family's there, depending on the severity of the injury, you know, we send them straight to the doctor. And what I also do is we do baseline concussion testing. So I'm in charge of that, which is huge, you know, with all the CTE stuff, you know, going on at the professional level. Definitely it's hitting the youth levels as well. So that's one thing we try to stay conscious of and try to make sure that our athletes are on top of that.
Yeah, you know, and the points you made right there, which are that's very in-depth analysis. And I think that happens at the professional level. Even at the highest level, you'll get guys – who, like you said, they felt something, they heard something, and they've all these injuries to stars that they've seen before pop into their mind, and they think, oh my goodness, you know, no more of this for a year. And then sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
It, you know, luckily it's not that. And then other times it's, yeah. So, you know, it just anybody listening should know that the athletes are in very good hands with this guy as the head trainer. I've seen it myself up close and personal. So anything else you'd like to add, buddy? You're going to be a regular on here, if that's okay with you.
Oh, I love it, man. So the reason, one of the big reasons why I did the athletic training thing is because when I left high school, I said, okay, I need to focus on school, but I still have the itch for sports. So being a trainer was the next best possible thing to be around these athletes. And my profession, you're constantly learning, whether, you know, and like you said, I wear a couple hats. So I'm constantly learning as a coach, as a trainer, as a teacher, and as a colleague. So, I mean, it's great being able to help out athletics in general, but McClatchy overall, because, you know, I have a lot of pride there, you know, and we have a lot of alumni that have come back to coach or to help, you know, or teach and do something in some capacity. And I just, you know, all the listeners out there, I encourage you to come out and help. Every bit helps, every bit counts. Like, I mean, Sky, you're doing wonders with this, the media part of Restore the Roar. You're getting the word out there. I mean, it's doing so well. Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. You're doing so well that other schools are going to try to mimic us. Some of them, you know, are lightweight starting to, but no, it's a pleasure being on here, man. I really appreciate you.
Oh, dude, we're just getting started, man. I, like I told all the student athletes when I spoke for a minute on last Tuesday, I was really, really excited about this job. I've been doing content creation now for about 10 years. And I was excited about seeing what's going on campus. And Rohit Sharma was actually the first person I met when I walked on the track for the first time. And it's been beyond what I could possibly expect. So I'm happy for the opportunity to get this out to the masses. And yeah, man, it's all good all around. And as we say goodbye to Rohit for now until the next episode, we say hello to Coach Willard Hom of CKM men's and women's tennis. Coach Hom, do we have you here?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I sure can, buddy. Welcome to Restore the Roar Live.
Thank you.
Okay. So we just got done talking to Coach Rowe for a while, and we're going to say goodbye. Let's see. We got Ro right there and Coach Hom. Okay, perfect. So your squad, the men's squad this year, as Coach Feichert announced to the crowd last Tuesday, this might be the furthest boys team has ever made it into the postseason, and one of the best seasons of all time in men's tennis. Do I have that right?
Yes, that is correct. There are qualifiers, you know, 20 years ago, they didn't have this these playoffs. So some of our best players that McClatchy ever had, they couldn't set a record like this because they actually didn't have the same playoff system. So that's a qualifier. But in the last 10 to 15 years, it's easily the best team.
Well, congratulations. So let's get specific here. Who were the stars? I could name them, but this is your squad, so I'll let you do it.
You're talking about the men's team, right?
Correct.
Right. Okay. Our number one player, Nathan Gravitz, is a graduating senior, and the number two player is a sophomore, Terrence Yip. Number three player was Yuto Van Lobenzels. He's a sophomore also. And then the number four player was Jason Hom, who's a senior also. Those were the four you know, the core players that got us this far.
Excellent.
We didn't
so,
have.
At, go ahead.
Oh, okay. At 5 and 6, we had, and 7 actually, we had three really strong players that helped us beat, especially against Rio Americano and Rockland. They played a critical role in those two wins. Mark Christensen at number 5, and Aiden G at number 6, and Derek Fong at number 7. So without those three guys at 5, 6, and 7, we probably wouldn't have won both matches against Rio and Rockland. And we beat that two times. We beat Rockland twice, and we beat Rio Americano twice.
So cool. So cool. And you were telling me that that was the first time a men's team had beat Rio in almost a decade. And yeah, it was a pleasure to see this team up close and personal. And before we go too far, we got to talk about the brand new courts. So if people are unaware, there has been, the tennis courts have been completely redone. I checked it out step by step last summer. It happened about, oh gosh, it wasn't too long. It happened over the course of like a 3-week period, I would say. Willard was out there checking it out. Coach Hom was out there checking it out. And go ahead. What ended up happening is just amazing. I mean, it's absolutely an immaculate surface. Go ahead.
Yeah, the company that – I don't know the company that did the work. They apparently did a very thorough job. It did take almost the whole summer. Their prep work was extensive. They took down the fences and the net posts and everything like that. And they cured – they had to dig up parts of the old surface, but they didn't take out everything. And what they did was actually a pretty good job. They laid a new – foundation, not a whole new foundation, but 2 inches more topping or, you know, asphalt on there. And it essentially raised the court level so that drainage was improved. But it also meant that they would fix the or reduce the chance of fracturing or cracking of the surface in the next decade. So they did a pretty good job of fixing the courts. And it did take them right up to the start of school because during the when we were trying to get the girls' team ready in the fall, we still had to practice over at Sac City College. And at the first day of school, the courts were opened up, and we began use them.
Excellent.
So they are,
and before that, last year, you guys were playing out at Natomas, right? That was your home court?
Right. Yeah, we actually we were very lucky through the courtesy and goodwill of management at Natomas Sports Club, which is a very good club. They've been around a long time. I actually kind of grew up there. And a lot of our players have gone through that club. So they kind of had a, they knew about us and they were willing to help us because, you know, we had partnered with them before in, you know, like training and things like that and running the conference tournament there. So we've had a long running relationship with Natomas Sports Club and they were willing to help us out in when we were in real trouble because the year that we went over there for both the girls and boys team, the courts, our McClatchy courts had cracks that were up to 3 inches wide in the length of a court. So they were really unsafe to practice on or play on. So
I saw those myself. Yeah. Up close. I went and took a picture of one and I held the camera about 3 feet above the ground and I took a picture of it and you couldn't see the lines on the court or anything. You could just see the crack. And I posted it on our Facebook page, Restore the Roar, which you could easily find on Facebook, McClatchy Restore the Roar. I posted the picture and I said, "This is an aerial shot of the Grand Canyon," and people were they were believing me, man. Yeah. They were confused. They're seriously? And I let it go on for like 15, 20 minutes. I said, "No, just kidding. This is our courts, but they will no longer look like this." It's to what extent are they open to the public? Or if you still have a point to make, I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish what you were saying.
Right. As part of the community effort that helped McClatchy stay, keep the team going, Sacramento City College, allowed us to use their courts for the second year, you know, during the summer. We didn't want to – we felt that we shouldn't abuse our, privilege of playing at Natomas, so I decided to move it back closer to home. And we asked Sacramento City College, if they would allow us to use their courts, and they cooperated very graciously. So for a summer, we actually spent every day almost at Sac City College. So we want to thank them too.
For sure, get that out there. That there's definitely a partnership between McClatchy and City College. We use their facilities a lot, and they are top notch stuff. And so we spoke with Coach Rowe, who's the track coach and other things, and the brand new track. We're talking here with Coach Willard Hom, who is the coach of the head coach of the men's and women's tennis team. So while I got you on the line, go ahead and if you want to talk a bit about the women's team this past year. I know they had a award recipient, Daisy Lewis. We also, Restore the Roar, made her the athlete of the week last year, and she was the student body president as a junior. impressive student athlete. So go ahead and talk about that squad led by Mrs. Lewis.
Okay. Yeah. We actually were pretty nervous going into the fall of 2018 because we graduated a pretty strong set of seniors. The number one girl, Shirley Kwong, graduated. The number three girl and four girl, Taylor Shida and Natalie Wong. And then I think Kylie Wong, and there was another, actually it wasn't Kylie. Anyway, there were Ginger Harris, the number five girl. So we lost a pretty strong set of singles players to graduation. And it's in the summer, right after graduation, I thought, we're going to have to call this a rebuilding year. But I guess I was wrong. During the California Tennis Classic in Fresno, where over 100 high schools get together to play a big tournament, we actually exceeded expectations. We won the Division IV championship. And this was with a team that I thought, we would struggle to win. So they really blossomed. Then they beat Rio Americano in a visiting match. First match we had on the McClatchy courts. And a lot of these wins are based on the strength that the leadership, too, of Daisy Lewis, who came in. For example, at the Fresno tournament, most of the teams sat out their number one player for alternating matches because it was five matches in a row in 2 days, and it was pretty hot. So most of the other teams did not play their number one girl consecutive matches. But Daisy was in such great shape and was such a smart player that she actually played every match, and that's what got us, and also Sophie Djurkovic, her number two girl, pulled through also. So that's why we were able to take that Fresno title. Then during
the season, I'm glad you mentioned that because she spoke about that in our interview, and she's like, well, I'll just play. She's like, I went up to coach once I figured out what was going on, and I told him, I'll just play all of them. I was like, wow, what a luxury to have that.
Right. Normally speaking, I don't like to take a chance because the heat, even if a player is optimistic and says, gotcha, I can do it, you hear that they don't want to sit out a match. But I have had it in the past where a player was very optimistic and went out there, and then within an hour, you could see that it was a bad idea because the heat really killed you. This is Fresno, not Sacramento. So.
Right, gotcha.
And then, so during the season, like I said, Daisy was a leader, and she did very well during the season, got us wins every time, and we finished the season undefeated. We went 19-5 overall, which was very impressive. The boys did 16-1, but they didn't play the Fresno tournament, so it's a big difference. The girls' team wound up being ranked 7th in the section in Division One. The boys' team, which was kind of top-heavy, was ranked 4. No, 3? 3. We were ranked 3, sorry. So there was a difference in the competitive situation that the girls faced, and they really did well because of all the gaps we had. The girls that played up, we had a number of girls who had not played varsity at all the year before, and then when they moved up, they actually performed very well. Daisy and Sophie did what we expected, but the supporting cast really came through. A girl named Paris Wong, I played 3, and the Archuletas, Lauren and Alyssa Archuleta, and Madeline Kwong, they all stepped up from lower positions and really brought the team up, along with a senior, Megumi Willis. So we got lucky in the sense that our lower players really stepped up.
That's great. That's great. And there are this tennis squad is a very impressive one. You guys deserve kudos and congratulations from Restore the Roar. Anybody listening to this, you could check out a lot of information on what's going on at RestoreTheRoar.org. You could also make any type of donation to any team. There's a plethora of teams. And a lot of donors and incredibly supportive people have helped do amazing things with a lot of new equipment. There's also the volunteers who were recently recognized at the award ceremony with the Bob Sertich Community Award, which is one of the most esteemed awards given out by Restore the Roar. It's named after our founder, and it is, quote, for selfless contribution of time and talent to CK McClatchy Athletics, end quote,
Coach Willard Hahn, you accepted on behalf of a couple people. I'll name all of the award recipients for that. From the fall, we have Michelle and Joseph Ruiz for boys water polo. We have Linda Maloney for women's volleyball. We have Alette Ricks Chambers in the winter for men's soccer. We have spring Marcy Harwatani for men's tennis and Tamarin Austin for track and cross country. You accepted on behalf of Marcy Harwatani and Max Tang. Do I have that right?
Yeah, they missed the event because they were working.
Oh, and what did they do? Just some of the contributions. I mean, I can imagine what a parent does. But yeah, what did they do to earn those awards?
Right. Yeah, both of these parents stuck with their kids for the 4 years, but they were always supportive of the whole team. Max did a lot. He was kind of a quiet guy. He was behind the scenes. He didn't really want to be noticed. He helped drive. He actually got authorized clearance, which is kind of hard to do sometimes. So he was helping drive kids to matches for the last couple of years. He went down to Fresno and was like a chaperone. I mean, these are all cleared. You know, he had to do a lot of paperwork to get there.
Sure.
For 2 years, he got cleared. Did a lot of driving. Filled in when there was somebody had forgotten their snack duty on the for the girls team. He would fill in and go out and buy Gatorade or water and bring ice and things like that. So he was very helpful to the whole team. He was very respectful. He was a perfect parent and set a model in the sense of supporting his daughter as well as her teammates in a very respectful manner. A role model for all the parents, really. And then, aside from,
Marcy,
you know, all that supporting, you know, that's hard to appreciate the all the subtle things he did for the team. And then the Marcy Harwatani, this is actually her eighth year with the team. And she was another player, I mean, a parent who didn't really want to be recognized in a sense because she felt that she didn't do anything special. But she, like Max, was very steady in her support. Consistent over the last 8 years. Her daughter started with me 8 years ago as a freshman and wound up playing a key role in our first finalist or second place finish in the section on the girls team. And then after she graduated, her younger brother, Caden Ching, became my co-captain this year, and he played for 4 years on the boys team. And through all 8 years, Marcy has very willingly supported the team, you know, brought food, drinks, driven kids to matches, and has generally been a model parent.
That's excellent, man. And congrats to Max. Congrats to Marcy. Thank you. Congrats to all those award winners. I've met so many amazing parents who are doing so many amazing things to make this all happen. It's all come together so great. This is a modern heyday of McClatchy Sports and men's tennis, women's tennis. You're doing a great job, Coach. Thank you very much for joining us. Don't be a stranger. We'll have you on as the next season approaches.
Okay.
All right. Thanks again. Coach Hahn, signing off. All right. Just had a call pop up here, and I don't know if that is our great athletic director, Rob Feikert, from his camp. Oh, okay. I think it was. Give me 1 second here. Rob, sorry. That was Rob Feikert. I did not recognize the number. He's on a camping trip in Reno. And a very well-earned one, as this guy, one of the hardest-working people at McClatchy, a school full of incredible hardworking teachers and administration. And let's see, if you know McClatchy Sports, you know Coach Feikert. He was the MC at the awards ceremony, and he has his older daughter graduated last year. His younger daughter is a senior this year. He's been telling me he's going to have some types of withdrawals from not having a child enrolled at McClatchy. He's joining us, cutting some time out of his vacation. He's camping, and if everything is copacetic here, I believe we have our athletic director, Rob Feikert, live from a remote location. Are you there, buddy?
Hey, Sky, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. We are about 24 minutes into our first episode of Restore the Roar Live. It's gone well. We've talked to Coach Rowe, talked a lot about the track team. We talked a lot about the new track. Then we went to Coach Hom, chimed in about a good 12, 14 minutes, and talked about the new tennis courts and how they have benefited our teams. And the men's tennis was one of the most successful men's teams of all time. So I don't really have a blueprint for what you're going to say here, buddy, but we're just glad to have you on here live. Just wanted to say hello. And how's the trip going?
Thanks for having me. It's snowing up in the mountains. It's raining, but there's about 20 of us out here having a good time outside of Sparks, Nevada, a place called Moon Rocks. Guys are rock crawling and riding motorcycles, so it's been a nice getaway.
That's fantastic. Now, this weather is just amazing. The one drawback of having a spring extend this far is that a lot of rainouts. This happened last year too. 2018, there was a good amount of rainouts. But this year, man, it was a whole different deal. So part of being the athletic director, one of the many, many responsibilities is juggling schedules in light of rainouts. So how tricky is that while also being a gym coach?
I don't know. I think I know the weather reports a little better sometimes than some what my kids are doing in class, but it is what it is, and we get through the day, and I don't think it's ever something that is done by myself. You've kind of alluded to, you know, having Coach Rowe and Coach Hom, and my coaches do a phenomenal job of keeping the facilities up. My baseball team is like a second gardener out there, making sure that the grass is cut and making sure that everything is going well. But it's always at a cost, and that cost is, you know, some money, unfortunately, but also time. But I think that's probably one of the main reasons why we are pretty successful. Not only do we got great coaches and put in a lot of time, but we got great kids. I heard you talking about a little bit about the athletic assembly. And it's impressive every year what these kids are doing and on and off the field.
It really is. It really is. I continue to be impressed. I'm just entering my first full cycle of sports, in about my 14th, 15th month as the head of media with Restore the Roar. And you have been extremely helpful as you continue to be. There are some high energy situations, you know, walking into that gymnasium when it's sold out, and, you know, women's playoff game, and there are some fun times to be had. So there's a lot of things going on at all times. The spring sports have come to a close, but in the next weeks, we already got the fall sports beginning practice. There's always so much activity on campus, and you could follow what's going on at RestoreTheRoar.org or our Facebook page, McClatchy/RestoreTheRoar. Anything else you'd like to say, man? I'm going to let you get back to your vacation, and you are hopefully also going to be a regular as we move forward here. I haven't exactly decided how often we're going to do this, but there's so much to cover that I think I'm going to go every week here for the near future. So
that would be anything outstanding. I just think we just need to continue to move forward and try to continue to put pressure on the neighborhood and our school district to continue to improve our facilities. You look at that track and field, what the soccer teams have, both the boys and girls soccer teams have done, what our track team has done. Football is getting better every day. Both our tennis teams are first rate. And now if we can start working on the softball and baseball fields to get those up and to where we need them to be, I think we'll continue to move forward and get better and better.
Couldn't agree more. I think everything's heading in the right direction. The fundraising for the fences for baseball and softball went incredibly well.
We're gonna talk baseball and softball next episode. I'll let you get back to your trip, buddy. Some well earned rest, and enjoy the 3-day weekend. And you know we'll be talking soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, Sky. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you very much. Right. Will do. Okay, folks, there it is. This is going to complete the first episode of Restore the Roar Live, brought to you by Simply Mobile, 4411 Freeport Boulevard. Check them out. Say Restore the Roar sent you, please. These are it's all in the family here, and they couldn't be prouder to be a sponsor. We're glad to have them on board. Also, I tapped the talents of a fellow 1996 graduate who is just an incredible, incredible beat maker, just incredible musical mind, and that's Chris Pilar. And he put together our intro song, which I played at the intro, and I'm about to play on our way out here. So I'm Sky Dickinson. This has been a blast. We'll talk again soon. Signing off on the initial episode of Restore the Roar Live. Here's our theme song by Chris Pilar.